Today is the sixth week of Lent. It's our sixth week in this series, Jesus, the Gospel According to Mark. And every week we have been attempting to get to know the original Jesus a little better from what was probably the first gospel written, the Gospel of Mark. One of the reasons we've been doing that is we're acknowledging that there are many versions of Jesus in the United States. Jesus is used for political purposes, for example, and we want to get to know who the original Jesus was from a biography written about him, the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. And the main point we're making in this series, and this could be the understatement of the year, but when you live in culture war America, we can't say this enough, that Jesus and Christianity are not the same thing. When we talk about the mission and the vision of the well today, we're going to go into this more, but for so many people who have had negative experiences of church, and maybe they're searching for a spiritual community right now, but they can't find a church that matches their view of Jesus, their experience of this thing called Christianity and Jesus can become enmeshed to where people just lose hope. And they just think, you know, if this is what church is like, if this is what it means to be a Christian, then I can't stomach this. But the point we're making in the series is that this thing called Christianity and Jesus are two very different things. And so we've been going through the Gospel of Mark together. We've been reading through it together. The readings are still on the Facebook page if you'd like to follow along. And then, of course, today is the one-year anniversary of the well. This isn't the way I pictured celebrating it, but we have something to celebrate. Starting the well a year ago feels like forever ago. A month ago feels like forever ago, but we have something to celebrate today. So I just want to give a little history and some stats over the past year. We started with monthly launch team meetings in October 2018. And then we held five monthly preview services starting in December of 2018. And then we launched weekly services on April 7th, 2019. So a year ago today. And here's some stats. Our weekly attendance has grown by about 25 people over the first year. Our children's ministry doubled, and we were able to multiply it into three age groups to serve our kids better. We welcomed two guest speakers, Jared Bias and Colby Martin. We hosted two festivals, Well Kids Spring Blast and the Well Fall Festival. We donated 172 pounds of food for our first Christmas in July food drive to benefit Matthew's Crossing Food Bank in Chandler. We took in 28 adult participating members of the well. We held a baby dedication and a baptism. We held three rounds of connect groups with over half of the church participating in at least one round. And here we are. And we didn't see coronavirus. We've also made it through a pandemic. But we didn't see that coming. But that's something to celebrate. And one of the things I want to get across today is that those of you who are a part of the well, you made that happen. It's your serving, your volunteering, your giving, your blood, sweat, and tears. Hopefully we minimize the blood, but who knows, that has made that happen. This has been a team effort from day one. And so I want to say to all of you who have been a part of the well team, thank you and happy anniversary to you. Because every church belongs to Jesus. It's not our church, but we're managers of it. We're stewards of it. And this is your church in that sense, that we are all managers of Jesus's church. So happy anniversary to you. We have something to celebrate. And to celebrate today, we are making a $500 donation to Matthew's Crossing Food Bank in Chandler, the same food bank we donated the food to earlier. As you know, with COVID-19, there are soaring needs across the country. More people filed unemployment for unemployment benefits last week than any time in our history. Food banks are overstretched, and we wanted to bless Matthew's Crossing, and we want to have an ongoing relationship with them, but one of the ways was to bless them with that $500 gift this weekend, and you made that possible as well, because your giving to the well, it makes up that gift to Matthew's Crossing. So thank you, and happy anniversary to you. So during the quarantine, maybe you've seen celebrities that have been, you know, posting YouTube videos, musicians. One of the ones that I've loved watching is Brian May, the guitarist from Queen. And since we've been in quarantine, he's making YouTube videos from his home, teaching people how to play Queen songs on guitar. He taught the solo from Bohemian Rhapsody the other day. Give me 10 years to practice and I'll let you know how that goes. But it's been amazing to watch. And a couple nights ago, I watched him just give a little lesson for a Queen song. And then after he played the song, he put his guitar down and he just looked into his camera phone. And in a very down-to-earth, heart-to-heart way, Brian May said that he felt guilty during the quarantine because he's wealthy and he has a large, beautiful home and he has someone who cooks his meals and he doesn't have to go outside. And he expressed how thankful he was to ER doctors and nurses and grocery store cashiers, people are on the, who are on the front lines during coronavirus. And he said that teaching Queen songs was his way of spreading joy in coronavirus. It's something that he could do. And it was so refreshing to see a celebrity actually acknowledge their privilege in a very human way and express empathy and appreciation to people who don't have that same level of privilege. And then, as he said, to use his gifts to do whatever he could do to bring joy in this situation. So today being Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week, this is the story of Jesus coming from a place of privilege, entering into the human experience, and giving of himself for the benefit of humanity. I want to read two scriptures. They're from Mark chapter 11 and Mark 15. And I'm very clumsily making sure that they're on the screen so we can read together. Let's read first Mark 11. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12, just outside of Jerusalem. And then from Mark chapter 15, this is the crucifixion that next Friday, or this coming Friday. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion, who was there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So the first scripture from Palm Sunday, and then the second scripture from Good Friday, the crucifixion. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday, he rode in on a colt, and that symbolized a king riding into a city and coming in peace. And there was messianic symbolism that the people would have readily recognized. And people threw their cloaks and palm branches in front of Jesus. And then they yelled this word at Jesus, this Hebrew word, Hosanna. Now, Hosanna means Lord, save us. Rescue us. Deliver us. Free us. Heal us. Lord, save us. Hosanna. In the Bible, to be saved, salvation, means deliverance, healing, wholeness, and wellness. Good name for a church. And we might have a better idea of what Lord save us means now than we did before. A lot of people hear the word savior, hear the word saved, and it just has these religious connotations that they can't get past, and it doesn't really mean anything to them. But I think now we probably have a better idea of what a savior means. Right now, a lot of us are looking to Dr. Fauci as our savior, and the infectious disease specialist who's guiding America through coronavirus in the healthiest possible way. He's leading us towards wellness as much as possible during this pandemic. ER doctors right now, they're always saviors. Certainly right now, everybody realizes how much ER doctors and nurses and other medical professionals are saviors. Companies that manufacture ventilators, yeah, right now, they're saviors. Some people look to the current president to be their savior. Some people look to Biden or Bernie or some other political figure to be their savior. But I think we understand a little better now what it means to cry out, Lord, save us, what a savior means. We need somebody to help us along our journey towards wholeness, healing, wellness, to rescue us, to free us. And we all need saved. Some of us right now need saved from anxiety. We're worried about what's happening. We're worried about the next few months. Some of us need saved from financial worry right now. Maybe you're not getting a paycheck. Maybe you're afraid that the longer the shutdown goes, you may lose your job. You may be laid off. And so maybe you need saved from financial anxiety. Some of us need saved from pain in the past. We encountered some kind of abuse, mistreatment. Things happen to us that cause such pain in our lives that it's difficult for us to find healing in those areas. We need saved from those things. Some of us need our relationships to be saved. Some of us aren't quite sure how to navigate, you know, a romantic relationship or relationship with our children or siblings or other family members or coworkers, and we're just having, or a boss. And we need saved in our relationship. I think savior means something now to us that it didn't mean a couple of months ago. And then when Jesus was on the cross, in his darkest hour, he quoted Psalm 22 and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from the Bible in Psalm 22. It doesn't mean that God literally forsook Jesus, but in Jesus' time of pain, when he felt like he needed saving, he cried out to God in a prayer. It was actually from Scripture, but he cried out in his time of need. Now, there are who knows how many millions of people who feel forsaken by God, or at least forsaken by church, as church is one of the traditional institutions in America that people went to for saving, for guidance, for community, for meaning. And that's not working for millions of Americans anymore. And we all need saved from many things, but it's getting harder and harder for Americans, at least, to find Jesus as a savior in church. Most people think of church now as wrapped up in culture war politics. They think of church as being against science, against women, against people who are gay, against thinking in any way, against using our intellectual capacities, against progress. There are people who think of church as supporting racism and bigotry. My goodness, that's where we are. That's what church means to a lot of people now. And that's why we want to create a community that is a different kind of spiritual community. That's why we started The Well a year ago, where people who feel like this can find a spiritual home and cultivate a Jesus-inspired life and be saved. Find guidance. Start on a journey towards healing and wholeness and wellness in our lives. So many people can't find that in church anymore, and so that's why we started The Well, to provide a spiritual community where people could find a savior in the way of Jesus. And we say it like this: the mission of The Well is to create a community where thinking, compassionate people can find a spiritual home and cultivate a Jesus-inspired life. That's why The Well exists. It exists for people who want to find a savior in Jesus, but can't find him in so many churches that they've tried, or they can't find him in the kind of Christianity that they see in coworkers or in the most vocal media personalities who talk a lot about Jesus but may act the least like him. So that's why we started The Well. The Well is for people who are deconstructing their faith. It's for people who are reconstructing their faith. One of our values is The Well is a place where you can express both your faith and your doubts, because we believe when you can get honest and be around other people who are honest about their own spiritual journey, that you can become the person you were created to be as you journey towards wholeness and wellness. And then you can partner with God to make a difference with your life and make the world better. And so that's why we started this church a year ago. In our present culture war, Christianity, religion, and politics mess that we live in, we started The Well to be a different kind of church. The Well welcomes everybody. We welcome the LGBTQ community. 20 years from now, when our kids are grown up, they'll ask us, was there really a time when churches didn't welcome gay people? Are you serious? And we'll be like, yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal now, but it was back then. But The Well welcomes everybody. We welcome people from all kinds of spiritual backgrounds. Regardless of what they are, we welcome people with all kinds of different spiritual beliefs. And we don't demand that everybody agree on the same thing in order to come to the table. We're a different kind of church. Now, there are lots of people who look at a church like The Well and they say, that's not really for me. They want a church that is kind of the old way in America, maybe a church that is wrapped up in culture war politics. There are people who just look at life and they say, I like the old Kanye. They just like the old ways better, but the old ways are not working any longer. And so we're not starting a church for 50 years ago. We're starting a church for now and doing something new. And I asked anybody who wanted to send me a message the past couple of weeks about what they appreciate about The Well. And I'm going to kind of intersperse these messages throughout my talk today, just so you can get an idea from individual people why we started The Well and what it means to them. And I know, you know, some of us think of reading a paragraph as just something that, like, we're just not used to that. We're an image culture, a visual culture. But I just want to read some of these messages, and I invite you just to take in what they're saying, to listen to where these folks are coming from. And so first, Lisa wrote this about The Well. As we approach The Well's one-year anniversary, I just wanted to share with you why I appreciate The Well. From the first time we came to a service, her and her husband Steve, we have felt welcomed and valued at The Well. I feel like we indeed have found our spiritual home. The weekly messages challenge me to think differently than I have in the past and to reconsider long-held assumptions. I feel like we're part of a family of seekers and believers who are all growing both as a church family and in our faith. Right on, Lisa. I agree. And then a person who wrote in and wanted to be anonymous wrote this. This is a couple paragraphs long. I'm very thankful for The Well. I was going through my own personal deconstruction of my faith when I came across an Instagram ad for The Well. It caught my eye because it had a picture of Rachel Held Evans, who was instrumental in helping me put a name to the spiritual abuse I had encountered in my 20 plus years of marriage and in various churches I had reached out to for help during those years. I was at a place where I thought church just wasn't for me for now. I had been deeply hurt by the church. Yet church was a big part of the social community that had helped me get through such a destructive marriage. So I missed it, yet I couldn't get excited about it since my views had started to change on so many things. I wonder how many of you can identify with that. The Well has felt like a breath of fresh air, a crisp drink of water in a dry and lonely season. So the name fits the church so well, no pun intended, she says. I think you intended that pun, actually. And then here's how she finishes. I love how it is said that The Well is a place for thinking, compassionate people that love Jesus. I'm all on board for that, and I want to be around people that want that as well. My heart goes out to those who have been disillusioned with God because God was not fairly represented to them. I get that. And part of the passion of my own healing is wanting that healing for others as well. The well is needed in our area. There are so many people that need to hear these truths that can bring healing and restoration to their weary souls. I'm excited to be a part of a church that can offer that. So many thanks to the well and the spirit that is behind it. And happy anniversary, she writes. That describes our mission. And so our 1 year anniversary is also a good time to talk about the future. Where are we headed? What's the vision for the well? What's the future look like for the well? In the very first monthly preview service we held back in December of 2018, I shared what I saw as a 25-year vision for the well. I think in terms of 25 years, because I'll be 67 at that time, and I figure somebody else is going to be taking the reins by that time. And in that service, I quoted I quoted the pastor of one of the largest churches in America, a pastor named Craig Groeschel. A few years ago, he was nice enough to give me about 30 minutes for a phone call. And we talked about leadership and starting new churches and the future. And during that conversation, he said something to me that has become a sort of mantra to me as we start this church. He said, we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in the short term and underestimate what we can accomplish in the long term. We tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in the short term and get discouraged if we don't see results that quickly. And then we tend to underestimate what we can accomplish in the long term. And at that time, there were about 40 people rattling around in an elementary school multipurpose room. And it would have been easy to get discouraged. But since that time, we've added more benches and we've added more families and the church has grown. And we can see now in small ways what the future could look like for the well. So I just wanted to share some things. What would it look like to continue starting this church where people can be saved, to learn how to live well, where we see salvation as a journey towards wholeness, not so much in legal terms like you're bad and God hates you, which is the message that so many have received, but salvation more in therapeutic terms. God wants to heal you. God cares for you. You matter to God, and you can get on a journey towards healing here. In a church where you can bring your brain. You don't have to check your brain at the door of the church. Science and faith don't have to be enemies. You don't have to raise your kids to argue with their high school biology teacher because they think evolution is a lie from the pit of hell. You can actually, if God created you with a brain, you can actually use it in church. What would it look like to build a church like that? What would it look like to build a church that welcomes everybody? What would it look like to plant a church where thinking people can take the Bible seriously if we read it and interpret it in the light of its historical context? And intelligent people can be honest about their faith and their doubts. Well, I think it looks like establishing a permanent presence here in Chandler. Right now, we've been leasing space every Sunday morning and schlepping in equipment. And at Hancock Elementary School, we're so thankful for our road crew. And coronavirus will end, and we're going to go back to that at some point, and probably in the summertime when it's super hot outside. And I'm thinking, man, like I would much rather go back in the wintertime to haul in all that equipment. But we have this portable church. Well, part of our vision is that we would create a permanent footprint in Chandler that would probably look like leasing space, maybe in an industrial area. And maybe that's a step towards actually building a church home in the future. The step of leasing space is really not that far away from us. That's attainable to us. We're getting closer to being able to do that because of the generous giving from so many of you. But it looks like establishing a permanent home in Chandler where we can live out this mission and these values. And then not only that, but it also looks like realizing that this isn't the only place on the planet that needs churches like the well. That there are people all over our country who feel the same way we do and would write messages like this if they had a church to write them about. We have people watching right now in different parts of the country. We have people watching right now in different parts of the country who have said, we really can't find a church like The Well in our area. So what would it look like to build a permanent church home in Chandler, but then also do everything we can to launch new spiritual communities, like-minded spiritual communities, wherever we can? I used to think of this as only in the Southwest, like maybe we could plant some churches in the Southwest or plant some other campuses of The Well in the Southwest. I just don't think like that anymore. And part of that, to be honest, is coronavirus, because of what we're doing right here. What would it look like if we had a permanent home in Chandler, yet we also used video or live teachers there and whatever that would look like in lots of different locations around the country to provide spiritual communities like The Well wherever they're needed? And so the vision for The Well, we believe The Well should build a permanent home in Chandler, and because churches like The Well are needed in every metropolitan area in America, we should help to start new like-minded churches wherever we can. I think that's what God is calling us to over the next 25 years. And maybe this time of coronavirus has actually opened our eyes to some new ways of doing this. Somebody actually said to me, they're like, could we kind of like just do virtual church? And I'm like, well, I think people still like gathering. The time is going to come when we can give hugs and slap backs again. And that's important. I think community is important. So we're gonna build a permanent home in Chandler. And at the same time, yeah, there's something to this, that we can use these gifts that we've been given to help start new communities wherever we can. Now, that's an easy statement to make. It's also an ambitious statement. It also takes sacrifice and volunteerism and energy and commitment and passion over a long period of time to make those things happen. But it's worth it. And so when I talk about that vision, if your heart beats a little bit faster, if you think, yeah, what would it look like to build a permanent home for The Well here in the Southeast Valley that establishes psychological permanence and we're here to stay? And then, yeah, what would it look like if we just, in whatever ways possible, started new communities like this wherever we can around the country? And we would get messages like this from people all over the country because of the blood, sweat, and tears that we've put into this spiritual community and helping start spiritual communities there. Oh, how fulfilling would that be? If your heart beats a little bit faster, then I want to invite you to join us. There are some of you, you didn't need me to ask. You're already there, because we believe in what we're doing. We believe that this is what God is doing, that people need a spiritual home like this. And so I want to finish with some other messages that people sent that perfectly, better than I could, describe why the mission and the vision of The Well is so important here on our first anniversary, with so many more to come. Why are we doing this? And I just want to read several of these. And again, we're not a culture that just listens to somebody read, but I invite you just to kind of sit back and let these words sink in. When you hear these messages from real people in our community about their experience, and you can identify with that, I'm sure, in so many ways, but then what would it look like if so many more people could write messages like this here locally in the Southeast Valley of Phoenix and around the metro area, the West Valley and Tucson, and all over the country? What would it be like if we could hear messages like this from all over the country? So a young woman, first of all, in a Connect group earlier this year, said this, and I just want to share this. She said, this is the first time I pushed on the door of a church and it actually opened for me. I love that. I'll always take that with me about The Well. And then Brenda wrote a message this week. She said, I love the spirit of inclusivity at The Well. I appreciate how we educate the congregation on the historical context of each biblical story and how each message can be applied rationally and compassionately to modern day circumstances. Love it. Stephen writes, I'm thankful for the existence of The Well Church It's a light shining in the desert that strives to gather people of all kinds to hear about the real Jesus, not the Jesus we make him to be, not the Jesus that politics has made, and how he can make a difference in our lives. Love it, Steve. Kristen writes, "Where do I even start? This past year at the Well has been such a milestone for our family. It was the first church we really jumped into as a family since our reconstruction of her faith." She said, "I remember telling her husband Travis, we'll take a peek at kids' church, but let's just plan on bringing Ollie with us, their little boy Ollie. However, they were greeted in Well Kids by Hannah, I married up, that's my wife, and her warm, welcoming spirit put my mama's heart at peace. Through the next week, she paid so much loving attention to Ollie that he went from being nervous about church to waking up each morning asking to go to church and see his friends and Mrs. Hannah." Love it. "For Travis and I, we found not just a place to express our faith and doubts, but a place that truly practices what they preach, a place that is really made up of thinking and compassionate people. The community that makes up the Well has become true friends who we enjoy learning and growing with. Thank you to the Well family for all you do." A person who wrote in who wanted to remain anonymous writes this, "The Well was there when I needed it the most. When I didn't know where else to go, it became my second home, and I am thankful for everything and everyone there from day one. Thank you for being a place where everyone can be who they are!" Exclamation point, exclamation point. How's that? If you're part of the Well, you did that. You made that message possible. Peggy writes, "I'm so grateful for the Well for so many reasons. I guess the first is that I don't feel alone anymore as a believer. I know there are people I can be myself around. I can let them know how I'm feeling about the state of Christianity, and I'm understood. I feel accepted for who I am, and that's huge. Secondly, I feel that Jesus is portrayed as a person, God, Savior, for who he really was and is and what he taught, the legacy he left for us. When I hear about Jesus from the pulpit of the Well, I hear what is most important, to love God and love others as ourselves, to love our enemies, to pray for all, even our enemies, which is simple, but not easy. I hear about the fact that Jesus shares his humanity with us and knows what it's like to be human. Thirdly, I feel that God is portrayed as a power of love that accepts all humanity as is. And accepting as is nothing short of mercy and grace. I have learned and have been inspired so much by the Well. I've been a believer since August 6th, 1972 at 9 p.m. And yes, my conversion was that powerful. But in the last 10 years, I only went to church as a part of a discipline in my life. And that began to wane. When I found the Well about a year ago, I was cautiously hopeful, and now I am entirely grateful. Thanks to all that make it what it is." Amazing. A pastor in Texas wrote this to me. Sometimes your reach is farther than what you think. A pastor in Texas writes, "Personally, I appreciate your ministry and your willingness to share your platform with so many with different perspectives." Very cool. Megan H. in the Well community writes, "We moved to Arizona from Iowa in 2016. We have met some great people here and there. However, we never had felt a sense of community for our children or ourselves. We tried a few churches along the way, but never felt at home. When we started attending the Well, we immediately felt welcomed and at home. We have since been able to give back to the community, baptize our children, and feel a part of something big. We have loved every minute of being a part of the Well family and can't wait to see our church community grow." Jenny writes, "After far too many years and more judgmental church environments than I care to mention, I was blessed to find the Well and its incredibly accepting congregation. I haven't allowed myself to get caught up in the mean-spiritedness of other churches that cannot accept people for who they are, myself included. At the Well, I can focus on why I go to church in the first place, to get closer to God through worshiping with a church family and learning more about Jesus. That's it. Thank you for leading that church, the Well rocks," all caps. Thank you, Jenny. You rock. Candy and Jim write, "After deconstruction from a religion of religion, it was very important for us to find somewhere to worship that not only keeps us connected with Jesus spiritually, but teaches us that we missed out on in the past. Things such as knowledge of the culture, the politics, language, and interpretation barriers during the days the Bible was written, etc. We are grateful for the Well to be a place where we can learn as well as think with Jesus as the base. Another very important criteria for us that the well has the inclusion of all, which is genuine. Right on. Another person, just a couple more. Another person who wanted to remain anonymous wrote this. After experiencing spiritual abuse over 12 years ago, I had zero intention of ever returning to a church community. I didn't even desire to attempt to live a Jesus-inspired life. Why bother? Coming to the well began as an attempt to see if they were serious about discussing politics in church with the United States of America series we started with after getting hit with a lot of targeted social media posts. That's right. And she writes, what actually happened was the beginning to a reconstruction of what very little was left of my faith and connecting to a community of incredible people. Last one, someone else who wanted to remain anonymous. I invite you to settle in and listen to this. You ask, what does the well mean to me? Wow, that's a big question. The well means life, family, community, connection. It's a place that truly gets me and accepts me, where I have finally come home, in all caps. I spent the majority of my childhood and teen years isolated from others due to a high infection risk and multiple hospitalizations. I always felt alone and lonely. Strange. Sounds kind of like what many of us are coping with today, huh? Growing up in the traditional Christian household, I was unable to make sense of why God was punishing me like it seemed he was. Though somewhere deep inside, I sensed that he was a good father and he was there with me through it all, somewhere. Over the years, I searched tirelessly for a church that could help me find that good father. But my searches were fruitless, and I always ended up where I began, alone and lonely. Honestly, I stopped believing in him for many sad and difficult years. Fast forward to the present, my adult years, I began a relentless pursuit of that good father again, and have spent the past several years studying the Bible on my own, reading commentaries on my own, listening to Christian podcasts again on my own. And lo and behold, God gently nudged me to reopen my heart to community. The moment I surrendered and agreed, the well miraculously appeared. That's a whole other story. Love to hear it sometime. But that good father I had sensed from my early years was there. He had been there all along. He helped me step out in faith 1 year ago. Being led to the well is one of the greatest gifts he has bestowed upon me. For possibly the first time in my life, I am not alone, and I am not lonely. During my present season of difficulties, I have been overwhelmed and deeply touched by the outpouring of love from my family at the well. God bless you all. And she finishes it, I love you. How's that for motivation? You know, as we celebrate 1 year on this Palm Sunday, when Jesus made himself available and gave of himself for the benefit of all of humanity, including us, we can celebrate 1 year and then look forward to a future. Many more anniversaries of the well. 1 year down, many more to go. And as we think about the future of the well has a unique mission. It is a different kind of church. There are not many churches like us. We're not the only one, but there aren't many like us. And we can build the well to be as strong as possible here in Chandler. We can build a permanent home here in Chandler. And we can help to start as many like-minded communities around the country as we possibly can. And what would it feel like on the second anniversary, the fifth anniversary, the 10th anniversary, the 25th anniversary of the well, to read who knows how many messages from people here in the valley, people in Tucson, people in you know, the West Valley, people all over the country who write messages to you just like this and say thank you to you for providing a spiritual home where they could be themselves and belong and live a Jesus-inspired life because of what you did, because of the belief and the faith and the work and the passion and the sacrifice and the time that you put in to fulfilling the mission and the vision of the well.